Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better.
We get beat,
beat. We
get beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, the big voice guy didn't lie to you. We will have a Jay Moore sighting. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, his reaction to Nebraska's 2017 draft and free agent deals. Jay will join us in 15 minutes on Hail Varsity Radio. We're going to try and get caught up with two Southwest Silverhawks headed off to the NFL. Chance to make squads. Brandon Riley will be with us in 30 minutes. Husker wideout as he is off to Buffalo. In hour two, Blackshirt, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride will weigh in on his thoughts with the draft. We'll talk to him about the Nebraska translation of talent to the NFL. It's a big topic today. Nice article by Sam McEwen. I'm chomping at the bit to dive into Josh Banderas in about an hour and 20 minutes. Bando will join us as he is off to Denver. And then Aaron Babcock will be with us. An exciting announcement today on HailVarsity.com as Hail Varsity's partnered up with some amazing people. Aaron will tell you about that at 5:40. So time to get in throughout the show. Pretty busy, pretty stacked up. So can join us at 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 800-825-5865, where you can hear us along the Hail Varsity Network. Tap the line with your friends at Chillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. How was your weekend? Were you glued to the draft? I was at the horse races in Grand Island with Junior and Uncle Nate.
Did you pick the right one?
I picked the right one three times that finished second.
Oh.
And I didn't go win, place, or show. I said, give me $10 on whatever the one wearing red was that was at 5-1.
Okay.
And at the last second, I got beat three times. I kid you not. Normal story. I'm going to spit it so it sounds better than it was. I lie to you not.
All right.
Got beat at the finish line three times.
Ooh,
set $30 on fire. Big spender here. And I'm like, well, let's another form of horse racing or crap shooting or whatever you want to say, gambling analogy, is the NFL draft.
Yep.
Okay. And let's talk about this. Let's talk about talent. NFL talent from Nebraska. Nebraska has a top 10 number in most draft picks ever. USC's number one at 500. I don't know how many USC dudes are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know how many USC guys have Super Bowl championship rings, but a few on both cases. I know there's a lot of Nebraska guys that have been in Super Bowls. I know there's a lot of Nebraska guys that have won Super Bowls because that's the pinnacle level. You go to the NFL, you go play on a team, you're a part of a reason a team wins a Super Bowl. Roger Craig, Tom Rathman. So let's talk talent and the number of draft picks. Does that reflect poorly on Nebraska? Well, the Huskers had one guy drafted in Nathan Gary. Iowa, three. Wisconsin had, they have three? Wisconsin had three. Iowa had four. Wisconsin had three. Ohio State cranked out 11. Michigan had 11, I should say, and Ohio State had 7. Tennessee had 6. Okay, those are all teams Nebraska got beat by, some handily, one close. So do you think Nebraska has performed at a disappointing level the last few years? Disappointing as in you're not winning big games, you're not performing well in big games. Do you think it's because of talent? And part of that, you can say, yeah, but it's not a blanket reason. because Nebraska had four guys go in the draft last year on a team that ended up going 6-7. Alabama put four guys in the first round. They had a slew of guys drafted. The guys that Alabama puts into the NFL a lot of times are injured or retire. Some are great. I mean, New England's done well with their Alabama acquisitions. Julio Jones, no doubt incredible, but it's not always a sure thing. Just because you put guys into the league doesn't mean they perform in the NFL, because it's a whole different animal. And I want to step back and focus here on the talent level of Nebraska and whether or not Nebraska is getting enough Jimmies and Joes that get to the league. Here are some theories I have and some reasons I have as to why it's been fluctuating draft-wise. And this isn't a kill Bo or blame Bo or kill Riley or blame Riley. There's just the fact of the matter has been transition. You've had coaching transition, you've had league transition, and the goal may be different. Riley's goal may to be to get here, win games, and put guys into the league. Was Bo's goal to put guys into the league? Wasn't top five or six on the list of his goals here. You wanted good players. But how's he going to acquire them? And that's where you need to be, I think, optimistic about Nebraska's future, is the desire and will and pretty much attitude. The attitude. What type of attitude do you have at the top? And you got a guy in Riley that is super hungry to go recruit amazing talent. You got a guy in Riley that doesn't care about who else is recruiting a kid. Mm-hmm. He wants to go after him. Now, Riley's got resources and a blank check, and he's got a ton of money that's being provided, and he's got a guy in Devaney who knows the NFL, and that's also a selling point and also can help assess what talent you're bringing in and if they are translatable even at an early age to the NFL. The theory is you get guys that are more prone to be in the NFL, you're going to win on Saturdays, and they'll get to the league. I want to go back to the Osborne era, where you found guys that were awesome, in your opinion, at your system. Going to train and groom you and get you in the weight room, get you at the dinner table, and three. And it's a different era, so I know that it's harder to do now. But their system was awesome, because what did it do? It won you 10 games a year. It put guys into the NFL. And it made your first guy great because he'd lose his job. And it made your second guy want to become great because he was in the hunt for that first place job. And the guy at third and fourth team, whether or not they'd make it or spend any time on Saturday, that was their goal, to get on the field on Saturday. So the system in place is what was beautiful. You won big games in Lincoln. You won championships in Lincoln. And as a result, the NFL took notice, and you ended up getting to the NFL anyway. It was Osborne's, like, edict. Hey, my job's to win Nebraska football games here with the kids we bring in, not be a football factory. If they get to the league, that's awesome. It doesn't hurt bringing kids in because you see some guys from Nebraska go to the league. That you want that. You need that. You have to have that. But what's the goal? Should the goal be to get good dudes here that can beat Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa? Do you care more about that as a Nebraska fan than you do send in more than one guy named Nathan Gary to the league? One will help the other. Start beating Wisconsin and Iowa. You hang with Ohio State and Michigan. You'll get guys to the league. You do that with better talent, but you do that also with execution, with depth. It's not all on talent, is what I'm saying. You do that with toughness and being a good, sound, fundamental football team with tackling and taking care of the ball and execution, whether or not your guy is slower or not. Because from a talent standpoint, there's no way Iowa should go blow you out. But Iowa put some guys into the league. But on paper, the talent coming in says Iowa's not even sniffing Nebraska recruiting rankings-wise. So there's no blanket answer. I think Nebraska has enough talent to win the West. They have enough talent to compete the West. The years that you get Wisconsin and Iowa and Lincoln, you need to win the West. Keep going after big-name athletes that have great measurables and phenomenal speed you think you can get and develop. But that should be a priority, is getting kids in here to develop to win at Nebraska, not sending them to the NFL. They'll get to the NFL if they win at Nebraska. That's how it'll work.
So in the last 18 years without a conference championship, to me, in my mind, there is no doubt that you've had enough talent to win the Big 12 North and the Big 10 West. You have the talent right now to do that, and
why haven't they?
That is a very good question.
They have urinated the bed more times than you can count.
But when you start to play these better teams with better talent, per se, Ohio State, they can lead to 62-3.
That's fine. But let me know how many guys. The last time you beat Ohio State was what, 2012?
Yep.
Braxton's in the league. That defensive line's in the league. That was the transition year from the sweater vest to Urban. Okay? So, listen. Ohio State is just going to crank out dudes. They had 12 dudes go last year.
Mm-hmm.
Seven this year. Three first-rounders this year. Well, two first-rounders and one first-rounder that ended up in the second round. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. To Oakland?
Yep.
So, yeah, you have talent at Ohio State. That's who you need to go after and compete with, and to do so you need, air quote, more NFL guys. But you look at the last several quarterbacks Ohio State's had, they're not NFL guys. They're changing the position. You had Zeke Elliott and a kick-butt offensive line. And you had a defensive line with Bosa. You had a linebacking core with McMillan, Raekwon. You had a secondary with seven draft picks the last 2 years. You want to compete with Ohio State? Yeah, you need a skill guy like Zeke. He's incredible. I don't doubt that. But Cardale's not exactly burning it up in the NFL. You win with how many guys you get picked up by the NFL on your offensive and defensive line.
Oh, for sure.
So that's
because guys like Tebow were amazing college football players. But they don't need to be the best NFL player quarterback.
No.
As long as they fit your college system.
Go start winning recruiting battles and evaluations in the trenches,
yes.
And the rest will follow.
Yep.
And that'll
That's so key right there.
And that'll even go onto the next level in the NFL.
Because something McEwen also wrote in his article was, you know, it's great that you're having walk-ons, and I think walk-ons are great, but when you're having to start relying on them, when you're starting defensive ends out from walk-ons, when you're having the center position, seven straight years of starting walk-ons, like those guys are great, but they should be supplemental. They shouldn't be starting numerous times over the years.
No, well, here's that kind of
because your outliers are Spencer Long. Those don't happen often.
And Jano and Spencer.
Yep.
Okay, and Tomich walk on. Listen, you have guys in the NFL that left early, or things didn't work out. It was just a mess with some of Bo's guys.
Yeah.
Okay, Avery Moss went fifth round. He should have been a starting defensive end for you this year and last year.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Gregory. We talked about Saturday morning with his drug issues. When Randy was here, he played his ass off and did well. It was all conference. It was great. He was one of your other defensive ends. Greg McMullen, Sunday guy, decided to retire. Some of the other guys that were part of past recruiting classes at defensive end, it didn't work out. So you got hit by awful luck on reaches or guys that were good and then just didn't stay mature, one or the other. And then your result is what? Your walk-on. You need walk-ons to push the Randy Gregorys of the world, to push the Avery Mosses of the world, to push name star that goes to the league and played at Nebraska. And you got to rely on walk-ons. Every day, Monday through Thursday, that you're getting ready to prep.
And that's fine, but come game time, let's not rely on them.
Well, are they better than the guy you whiffed on in evaluations for recruiting? Just play me the best player.
For sure, but then that goes back to you're a terrible recruiter, and we need to fix that.
Well, there was issues in recruiting, and there's still issue. I mean, again, in exact science, you got to be really good at 40%. You can miss on 60%, but the 40% you hit on better build depth and talent. So Nebraska's already got enough talent, despite how many get drafted, to be in it in the West. Okay? Are you going to beat Ohio State? I don't know.
Not right now.
I don't know. You're not. And it's going to take some time to build up. Are you going to beat Michigan? Michigan's a curious case. They had 11 guys get drafted. How in the hell have they gone 20-6 in 2 years if they've had 11 guys drafted? If Harbaugh is the second coming.
Yeah, and most of those guys are Hoke guys.
Yeah, and Hoke was it was such a tire fire. He's going 5-7 with guys that got – he recruited 11 draft picks, for God's sake, in 1 year. So there's a yin and yang to this. There's no right answer. No, Nebraska doesn't necessarily have to have guys going in the NFL to recruit people to their system and win. Does it look good? Yes. But even if you put a slew of guys into the NFL, the other side of this sword is fine. They didn't deliver when they got to the NFL. So Nebraska's a program that puts guys in the NFL that they don't live up to their hype. And that's not true either. It's an individual case by individual case, and it's a year by year by year thing. You went 9-4 with one guy getting drafted. You went 6-7 with four guys getting drafted. There's a happy medium there. But you have enough talent to win the West and then throw enough punches to knock out Ohio State on a Saturday in December. Jay Moore weighs in on the draft. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, and I know the NFL draft special time for him is Jay Bird drafted in the 07 draft. Jay, what do you know? I know you weren't golfing this weekend. You might have been rowing.
That's for sure. No, there's definitely no putting a ball on the tee and chasing around for sure this weekend. Got to watch a little bit of the draft. I'm not a diehard, watch, all whatever 10 hours, 12 hours coverage, whatever they provide. But I for sure paid attention and was able to pay attention to where those Huskers are going.
Well, let's talk about that. We'll get into the Nebraska talent and the translation to the NFL. Good story by Sam McEwen that we've spent some time talking about to start the show. But let's talk Nathan Gary, off to Philly. The word is he'll be a linebacker there. You're a guy who went from DN to linebacker. First and foremost, your reaction to Nate and his fit in Philly, because I know you have guys that have been part of Eagles stabs in the past up there that may not be there now, but you know the pro team a little bit better than some. What do you think about Nathan and Philly? Is this a good idea for both?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good fit. I know last week we talked on the show, last Wednesday or Thursday when I was in there, talking about he's kind of that tweener. He has the size and the physicality-ness to be a linebacker, but obviously he possesses very top, high-end speed. He can play, obviously, safety at a place like Nebraska, but his change direction, he's able to turn his hips and go in coverage were kind of, a knock on what he's able to possess from a safety standpoint. So scouts say, okay, and it's been kind of a trend here in the last couple of years. I know Arizona's done it in the past. I know Atlanta's done it here lately. It's kind of taken those guys who are, 215, 210, that, can play in the box as a safety. And they're like, well, hell, let's just make him a linebacker. Let's not take the liability issue. And with him kind of being able to cover the back half of our defense, let's just put him down the box. Let's make him a weak side linebacker. Let's kind of make him a joker to where we blitz him. We were able to, have him go man-to-man on a back or man-to-man on a guy like an Edelman, a Welker, those type of guys, because those guys provide those they produce those matchup nightmares. And then now NFL teams are like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, we'll just get kind of our a bigger safety and turn him into a linebacker, and we're going to take away these matchups against the back, against the tight end, against a slot, a quick, speedy slot receiver. And you're seeing that. It's kind of the invoke thing, and I think that will make Nate a better player. I think that will make him a better, that will prolong his NFL career. And granted, he'll have to play some special teams as well, and that's just part of the deal. But this is a good move for Nate and prolonging his NFL career as long as possible, in my opinion.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio Magazine and .com at JayMoore44. Jay's reaction to the Huskers in the NFL draft, or Husker in the NFL draft, and then several free agent options for Nebraska guys. We'll get your take on in the second. But, Nate, the only Husker drafted this weekend that extends Nebraska's streak, which is great. It also it ends Nebraska's streak of multiple years of two or more guys picked. Jay, what's your take on using the NFL draft to assess how much talent you have in a college program? Yeah, it's pro talent, but college and the NFL are kind of apples and oranges, correct?
Yes, very correct. It's you can take it as one thing. You can take it as...
How do you take it?
Well, I think it's very, cut and dry. It's very obvious. I mean, I think you can say, okay, yeah, Alabama has a lot of guys drafted. Ohio State has a lot of guys drafted. Hell, Florida, I seems like they had their whole defense drafted in the last couple of years. And if a Florida team has any bit of a quarterback, I think they're maybe not going to have Alabama in those SEC championship games, but they just didn't have the offense produce. You want the talent. I think that's an easy knee-jerk reaction to say, Nebraska's down because you don't have the talent. Well, that's getting drafted. Well, that's obviously an easy thing to say, but you see a lot of guys, let's be honest, that make teams as an undrafted free agent that play on the practice squad for a year and a half. All of a sudden they're starting, they're signing new contracts, i.e. Will Compton. You can just go down the list. There's more and more. There's more and more guys who are undrafted than there are first and second rounders on NFL rosters currently. So I think obviously you win more football games, you're going to get more, the scouts are going to be more noticeable to you. You're going to see more, more eyes at practice. You're going to see more eyes on film. But I don't necessarily think that you're part of a bad football team. You're part of a bad program. I just think the system that you might play in is a certain, can have some control over that. And, do you possess those type of, traits, the physicalities? I think, you get some, the NFL, it's very cookie cutter-ish. They like to put you into a certain, bowl. Okay, you are 6'5", 275. Okay, you have this wingspan, you're automatically this. Well, you can have a lot of guys that, they don't know what they're going to do with you. They're like, he doesn't quite fit into this mold. He isn't quite fitting in this mold. So that will actually pull teams off of what they might see you as a third round grade, but they're like, we just don't know what he is. He an outside linebacker? Is he a D end? Is he a tight end? Is he a wide receiver? And they'll actually drop you down a couple grades, almost be undraftable. So there's those issues as well. That doesn't say you're a bad football player. It just says, they can't peg you as what you are, what they can project you as. And that will sometimes make guys undraftable. So I think it's easy to say, Nebraska. Obviously, Nebraska needs to get. We need more talent. I think the more guys you get drafted, the more football games you'll see Nebraska winning. But that's an easy out to say. Okay, yeah, Nebraska. Bo Pelini couldn't recruit. Mike Riley can't develop. I think that's too easy. I think you got to give it some time and just understand what the NFL is about. Just because if you're not drafted, into the NFL doesn't mean you're a bad college football player.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, let's talk a little bit about some of the guys that did get free agent deals. Seathan Carter to Cincy, Brandon Riley we'll talk to next, off to Buffalo, Josh Banderas to Denver, and Alonzo Moore to Kansas City. You have Westy headed off to do a tryout in Tampa, and then of course Minnesota, the hookup with the Big Red. Chances for Tommy Armstrong, Terrell Newby, and Dylan Utter. And then Michael Rosivy to Chicago. So I've gone through the list. A couple of names that you're interested in seeing how things shake out.
Yeah, I think, I mean, anytime you get an opportunity with any team, you know, as undrafted as a tryout, it's an opportunity. And it takes one team, it takes one chance to make something out of it. I think, you know, I'm surprised Stephen didn't get drafted, but I understand just with, you know, the injuries and honestly not him being utilized enough, I think that hurt him a little bit. I mean, these guys can make NFL careers. I mean, I've been in plenty of camps with guys that have come in and they were just there for that rookie minicamp tryout. And they're there all through the year, whether on practice squad, and they've actually gone on to sign and play maybe a year and a half later. So it's all about getting that opportunity and proving the people wrong and working hard and keeping your nose to the grindstone and asking the right questions, becoming best friends with the special teams coach, doing whatever you can for special teams. That's, guys in many situations, that's what they got to understand. Like, they might not have played a whole lot of special teams as starters at the D1 level in college football now. That can make or break your NFL career is your ability to contribute on special teams, is, you know, playing four or five of them, learning to become a long snapper, doing all these different things to get you that nice, you know, $350,000, $400,000 paycheck that it might be as a first-year guy in the NFL, whatever the league minimum is now. So it's just understanding, yeah, it's a grind. Yeah, it's not fun at times, but you know what? It's better than working a 9-to-5 and some of those other things. And, you know, and trust me, I think all those guys understand that. And they're going to do whatever they have to do to make all those things happen.
Do you think there's a chance for a Will Compton or a Searles-type career with one of these guys that just got signed?
Oh, without a doubt. I think, you know, I think Ethan can definitely do that. It's hard. You think, obviously, guys that are signed to a free agent contract are going to have a little bit better chance. I think even like a guy like Newby can hang around. He can provide a different aspect to an NFL lineup as a third down back, you know, a guy that can catch screens and guys can do some different things. You know, it's kind of surprising with Westy. I think with him, with the late injury and not, you know, I don't think he possesses that breakaway, that elite speed that they want to see, but I think he can definitely do it. He provides the toughness. He has the hands. I mean, the guy has some of the best set of hands you'll see on a wide receiver, so that's without a doubt a guy like him can make a squad, and hopefully Tampa Bay sees what we've seen in the past and making some of those catches that he's going to get a chance in training camp and maybe sign into a practice squad to prove that. Without a doubt, I think some of these guys can, without a doubt, can make themselves a career. It's just things got to happen right. You got to don't get frustrated when you're called up or when a guy's hurt. You know your role. Don't get frustrated. Do not pay attention, you know, in meetings just because you think, oh, I'm not going to play. You don't know. You don't know that situation. So when your name's called, be as prepared as possible. And a couple of guys out of those unsigned free agent groups that Nebraska has will definitely pop through and be able to make a comparable career as a Will Compton or Jeremiah Searles.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Can find him and do follow him on Twitter at JayMoore44. Bird, thanks for doing a segment appearance post-draft here on a Monday. Charlie McBride coming up. We'll also run down Brandon Riley and Josh Banderas. Bird, we'll get caught up soon. We'll talk to you later this week, and thanks for a few minutes with us.
No problem. You got it, guys.
There he is, Jay Moore. Buckle up for safety. Buckle up because that seatbelt indicator makes the sound if you don't do it. You're not the only one who suffers. Family, friends, coworkers suffer. If you're injured or killed in a crash, click it or ticket now. Reduce injuries, save lives. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Brandon Riley, up next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Another Husker off to the NFL. Free agent signing, wideout from Lincoln Southwest, Brandon Riley with us again. Brandon, wasn't that long ago we were talking about an autograph signing you had. Let's fast forward, and now you're a Buffalo Bill. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, it's a pretty cool feeling to, you know, have this opportunity from, you know, where I started and came from. And, you know, I'm just excited to, you know, get it going.
Brandon, take us through your weekend. How did you spend it? And then kind of tell us a bit about how the deal formalized with Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, I knew it would come down to Saturday. And so, you know, we just got some family and, you know, some of my close friends. We went bowling, just, you know, just hanging out. And then, you know, I had a few teams call and said, you know, they wanted to draft me in the late rounds, but it didn't work out. And so when the draft ended, I probably had, you know, 7-8 teams call wanting to do a free agent deal. And, you know, it came down to a few, and I felt my best opportunity was in Buffalo.
What was it about Buffalo that maybe separated from some of those 7 or 8 other teams that contacted you?
You know, the depth of receiver, they lost a few guys. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, looked at all the rosters and, you know, where I thought I'd have the best chance.
Few minutes here. Brandon Riley with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Brandon Riley 87 on Twitter. He's off to Buffalo. Brandon, let's talk about your story. And we've talked before, but you're a guy that's always just kind of shunned the doubters. And do you remember where that started, where that came from? I mean, it's obviously worked for you. Really good career in high school. You were productive and very talented at Nebraska. Now a shot at the NFL. How did you kind of shape yourself into being a guy that just kept grinding?
You know, I just don't really listen to the outside talk. And I mean, because if you listen and read and believe everything on the internet and stuff, you'll go crazy. And, you know, I kind of learned just stay to myself, and, you know, I'm confident in myself. And, you know, if I'm just confident and work hard, I feel I can, you know, accomplish most things I want to. And so that's kind of the mentality I've had, and, you know, that's what it's been working.
Brandon, your time at Nebraska, your development, what are you taking with you from Nebraska to Buffalo? What were you able to learn, and how are you able to hone your skills in Lincoln for 4+ years?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I learned a ton from Coach Williams, and, you know, it's an ongoing process continuing to learn from him. And, you know, I'm sure when I'm in Buffalo, I'm still going to, you know, stay in close contact with him. And, you know, whether it's sending, you know, film clips to him and, you know, getting advice from him, as well as, you know, receiver coach in Buffalo. And, you know, just when I get there, just put my head down and work and, you know, hopefully earn a spot.
Were you able to talk with or text back and forth with him after the Buffalo deal?
Yeah, I was talking with him before I made the deal. We were kind of, you know, working on everything together. Me, him, and my agent, we're all kind of in contact trying to figure out what was best.
What's some of the advice he offered up, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, you know, he just said, you know, you got to do what's best for you. And, you know, it's not all about, you know, money up front. It's, you know, where you think you can make the roster. And, you know, we felt we had a good plan after the draft of where would be best. And, you know, I'm happy with the decision we made.
Being a Coach Dub guy, I mean, that is that attention getting for NFL teams?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, he's a great coach, and, you know, wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way to the NFL here in a few years.
Brandon, you're able to share with your family this next adventure and touch on some of the support they've given you and just being there for you. It's been important, I'm sure, but can you put into words what it's meant?
Yeah, you know, having their support, you know, all along my journey, you know, from, you know, walking on, they said, you know, just go prove yourself. We know you can do it. We're confident in you. And, you know, just having them there, you know, always having someone to, you know, lean on during a tough time or something's not going right, it helps out tremendously.
A few minutes here. Brandon Riley with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Brandon Riley 87 on Twitter. So what's next, man? What's your schedule like? When do you head up to upstate New York?
next Thursday I fly out and, you know, get ready for the rookie mini camp there and, you know, hopefully make a name for myself early and, you know, get people to know my name better.
What type of role do you envision? What's a fit for your skill set at the next level?
You know, I'm pretty confident playing both, you know, outside receiver and slot. And so, you know, wherever I have the best chance or wherever they want to use me, and, you know, I'm comfortable either way. And, you know, when I get an opportunity to make a big play in practice or something, I just, you know, I'm confident I'm going to do that.
So how did you celebrate? I know you're with family and friends and you went bowling and you got things finalized agent-wise, but how were you able to just step back after things were done and just kind of exhale? What'd you do? Did you go to dinner? Did you spend more time with family and friends? How'd you celebrate?
Yep. Just, you know, got some food with some friends and then, you know, went met up with, you know, some more family and friends Saturday night and, you know, we all just kind of enjoyed it together and, you know, moments like these don't come every day. So, you know, I was happy that, you know, everyone could help me celebrate.
Who did you follow? Who did you like growing up in the NFL? Is there a specific player that you were always locked into on Sundays?
Not too bad. You know, the past few years I've, you know, grown to watch Jordy Nelson because, you know, he's walked on kind of similar. And, you know, so I kind of watched him and, you know, checked out what he did every Sunday. And, you know, I took a visit to Green Bay and, you know, I actually met him there. So that was a pretty cool feeling.
How'd that meeting go, man?
It was good. And, you know, the Packers, it came down to Buffalo and the Packers. And, you know, I just feel I had a better chance in Buffalo to, you know, make the team.
Do you love playing as a wideout in cold weather?
It doesn't bug me. No, I played hockey growing up, so I'm used to, you know, being in the cold.
Yeah, that's indoors, but it's still cold. I get it. But those two climates, you're unique with that as a guy catching the football in cold weather. What do you think of Nebraska? I know you're off to the NFL, but from a kind of a review at the spring game, what were your impressions? What did you see from the fellas?
Yeah, you know, Tanner Lee, I think Tanner Lee is going to have a heck of a year. And, you know, I think if the offensive line, you know, works together and gives him time. You know, they've got a lot of playmakers outside and in the backfield. And I think it'll be pretty fun to watch the offense. And then, you know, the defense, I know in the spring game, you know, they couldn't show much or do much. But, you know, when they start flying around and they got a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball too, you know, I expect a really good year from them.
Well, Brandon, best of luck to you. Lincoln Southwest, Nebraska Cornhusker, now Buffalo Bill. And he is off to Buffalo next week. Brandon, congrats on your weekend. Nothing but success for you moving forward. And thanks for a few minutes with us on Hail Varsity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good dude. Just a grinder. A lot of talent. Best wishes to him in Buffalo. We'll wind down hour one. Charlie McBride, 15 minutes away. Josh Banderas next hour. Aaron Babcock with us next hour as we move forward.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Can I just let Skinner play for a little bit? Is that all right? Good tune. Great song. Can we play another?
This has got to be their most famous song, correct? Or am I
off? Oh, young TJ. young TJ. You can argue that this may be their best. Simple Man by Leonard Skinner. Hail Varsity Classic Rock Airwaves. No, I think Give Me Three Steps, pretty good song. Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, that one rings a bell.
That Smell, that's a song title.
What's that one about?
I'll have to get you my Skinner's Greatest Hits. We're moving, okay? We're moving.
Yep.
God, this is so brutal. and we get the old Aola like bookshelf stereo setup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably from the 90s, but the sound it kicks out is great.
Mm-hmm.
So it beats buying one of those sound bars for your flat screen.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm trying to check to see if the speakers are set up right. So I'm trying to get the CDs to work. And of course, with the move, all the CDs got jumbled around. Well, finally it opens and Junior's like, what's that? Like, what's what? What are those discs and what's that rotation? Like, are you freaking kidding me? No, what is it? Never seen one before. Like, it's a CD. It's a CD changer. If you had one of these, you were awesome. And if you had, like, one of those six discs in your car, you put in your trunk,
yep.
So some a-hole at the dorm wouldn't rip it off,
mm-hmm.
You were really, really awesome. But no, Freebird is the mm-hmm. other one. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, heard of that one.
You've heard of that one. Yeah. Have you heard it?
Yeah, it was probably on Guitar Hero or something like that.
Maybe.
How old, Junior?
10. And he was like, what's that?
2007.
It's a CD.
Yeah, that's around the year the iPod kind of came around.
No, it is.
I was like, yeah, it's...
And then he looks through the old book of dads. I still have them. Because believe it or not, the sound quality is pretty awesome if you throw a CD in and crank it up.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the MP3 or 4 you're jacking with. But that was... I had to stop and shake my head. I had to show them how to hook speakers up through wiring. They weren't Bluetooth wireless. And B, and this whole conversation started by like, huh, this Simple Man Skinner's only song? New?
It was to me, I guess.
No, that's okay. And you probably know it because it was
Sweet Home Alabama, that makes sense.
It was a Bush commercial. That's how you know it. You saw the horse rearing back, the old wild Mustang, right?
Maybe.
It was a Bush commercial.
Okay.
It was Bush diesel, not light.
Okay.
Bush, right? They cracked the beer. They played Simple Man for I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars they got to do it. But we'll get you hooked up. Garth, G-Unit's a huge Skinner guy. So we'll put together the necessity. We'll ask Coach McBride about Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Coming up, Josh Banderas. He is off to Denver. We'll talk with Bando in about 15 minutes. It is Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride, no one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. And Emeritus has protected your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. And they've been keeping their promises for 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Emeritus proud to stand with Husker Athletics, proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing?
Good. Doing great. And we're having fun, still moving.
You sent me a text last Friday and about fell out of my chair. And you said, snow? Question mark, question mark, question mark. We dodged it here in eastern Nebraska. But thanks for that alert. I wasn't paying attention to the weather. And you said snow? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I hope it's not coming your way. Are you
no, it's
doing
it's
okay?
Not. Yeah, we're doing good. We just got the bottom end of some rain, but it's been you know, reasonable.
Okay, yeah, I think Noah and his ark have come by this weekend. It was just nonstop rain, but good reason to stay inside and watch the NFL draft. Coach, did you catch any of the draft, or were you busy doing other stuff?
Well, I got through about most of it.
Okay.
I got up to pretty good through four, and then after that, I wasn't so good. Then I went back to work.
Sure. No, I got you. Well, I want to start with Nathan Gary and kind of get your reaction and thoughts to him being selected by Philadelphia in the fifth round. He's a guy that can probably transition to linebacker from a safety spot. And I know you followed Nathan when he was at Nebraska. Right. And just kind of give me your reaction to his opportunity.
Well, I think, too, that you're right. I think that there's a good chance that he could be played as a linebacker. And I think they'll start him out, of course. I think the safety and see how he moves around back there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a great body for a linebacker. And, you know, it could be a third down backer. He could be, you know, sometimes you're put in different circumstances in a game. They find times when they want you in and out and so on and so forth. So, if I was him, I'd just go ahead and close your eyes and let her fly. You know, he's got the ability to play in the NFL.
Yes, he does, and he has got great straight line speed and has put a lot of good film together. And he's kind of a blue collar dude, so I think he'll work well in Philadelphia. Coach,
right.
I wanted to ask you here. We'll get into some of the free agent guys before we wrap up. But your thoughts and how cognizant were you during your time at Nebraska about the number of guys you put into the NFL each draft, either offensively or defensively? Was it something that you worried about, or was it something that you just kind of let play out, was out of your control?
Yeah, we just let it play out. It was really out of our control. I was fortunate, I think, or unfortunate, whatever you want it, how you look at it. But I spent from the time I was at my last year at Arizona State, all the way through Wisconsin, and then when I got to Nebraska, Coach Osborne, what are some of the things I did? Well, I was in charge of pro scouts. So, you know, a lot of that stuff, I got to know a lot of people. And, you know, I think the biggest thing was, you know, honesty. You know, the thing that was hard about it was they may ask you, can he play? You know, I had enough guys in the NFL to know pretty much that if he can or he can't. And you never say a kid can't play. I mean, I couldn't do it. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be fair because, you know, they write all this stuff down, and who knows what. I know one time one of the scouts at the place let him see what I said about a player, you know, and which wasn't bad. But I just knew that he had read this report, and you don't ever want to get yourself in a position where you say a kid can't play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my answer was he's going to be one heck of an alumni.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, and it, how smart is he? Well, you know, some kids, you know, he did it after people knew me. If I said, well, he needs some reps, he needs, you know, a lot of reps, you know, or whatever.
Sure. It's way to decipher it.
Yeah, and some guys, you know, you just are there. I mean, you know, they don't make mistakes. They're smart. They're, you know, and things like that. So you just tell them what you think, and that's the easiest thing. But you know, you don't. We've had a couple of times where somehow the word got out. Somebody on our staff, I know it wasn't me, but said that one of our players wasn't smart enough to play in the NFL. Well, my name got tagged behind that because of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, you know that. You know, the player himself called me, and you know, and then he found out that it wasn't me. But that kind of stuff is a little touchy. You know, you don't ever say to a kid. I think a lot of times, they can tell probably better than you do, and they also understand that you're probably a little bit prejudiced, you know, towards, you know, the players that are there. I think it's the same thing with a high school coach and recruiting. I think, you know, your coach really wants them to have an opportunity to get a scholarship, so he may push them a little harder than he really should be sometimes. But
sure.
But then that can happen with us when we were, you know, when we were talking about our own players. I tried to be not jump out of a window. Mm-hmm. Use the word good or very good instead of great.
Right.
You know, and things like that. You know, when you start really over exaggerating, I think, you know, you can get a kind of an ugly reputation.
Sure. Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio. That was a fine line between talking to the scouts and being reputable to them, not giving them a bad product or helping them with a fair projection, but also being loyal and humble with your own kids' abilities. And that was a unique job you had, and I'm sure it stressed you out a bit from time to time. Coach,
well, I think what happened too is after a while, if I said the kids could play, then they really took it. I think they trusted it to heart because you know they looked at past, you know, all you've done in the past and who you put, you know, mm-hmm. people you. So they keep a track on, and they keep it. They kept track on me. Mm-hmm. You know,
Coach, I wanted to ask you when you were developing kids, when you were evaluating, and there's a story out asking about, you know, Nebraska's talent level, and what's that say if only one kid from Nebraska got drafted this year? And I think there's no right answer, because some years a ton of guys get drafted when you have a down or subpar year, and then there's some years where you maybe overachieve but only one guy gets drafted. I mean, it's so hit or miss, because the NFL is its own animal. It's a different thing. Did you purposefully look for NFL guys, or was your position, Nebraska's position for the multiple decades of excellence, let's find a kid that can play for us, and if he gets to the NFL, then that's awesome, but it wasn't the first priority? Is that fair to say?
I think what's happened is a lot of people, which we did not do, are looking for. I was down at a school in Chicago recruiting, and a coach from Minnesota at the time, and not the same staff or anything close to it, but came in, and I just happened to be sitting in there, and he said, "Well, if he's not 6'5", we really don't even want to talk to him." And I just about jumped out of my chair. I had a sit down and tie myself to the chair, because I knew right then they're never going to be any good. You know, you get a bunch of 6'5" turtles, and that you know, and they look pretty. You know, you couldn't dent the snow, right? You know, and it's really kind of sad, because if you look at some of the players, I mean, you can go to any of the players up in our offensive line and so forth. And, you know, we had guys that won the Outland were 6'1" right. or 2", you know, and stuff like that. And, of course, we ran the ball. And, you know, they're looking at throwing the ball. And I always looked at throwing the ball in the Big Ten was, you know, not really a good idea, because the weather can get ugly and you better be able to, you know, pound it. And you'll be in that situation at times, in Minnesota especially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I never went too much by the, you know, the size things. Now, Dallas Cowboys, for example, came in, and I had two kids that were 6'1 and 6'1 and a little over. And Dallas said that neither one of them, would not draft either one of them, because they didn't have enough height. Well, the one player that was the tackle, who was the second guy picked in the draft, he was the real deal, and he played 5 years, and the other guys played 33 years,
mm-hmm.
the shorter guys. So together, they really played a lot of football, and so I've always, I think, you know, when you start
going away. You'll see a guy in the draft. He'll pick a defensive end who's only 6 foot, and those guys are usually scorpions. I mean, they have something special. So, and because of that, they picked him out. And I think a lot of times when you're recruiting in college, you look at the kid's heart. Can he get bigger, or can he do whatever? And you know they're going to get fast. I mean, they're just going to get stronger as they get older and things like that. So there's so many variables out there, evaluation of everybody that, it's really hard. But it when you start going out and looking for a pro player, I think that's where we kind of made our money. Sure, there's guys that could be pro players, and there's guys that nobody recruited that ended up in the NFL that we had. And you got coach written on your shirt. You better make him a player. If you bring him in and you think he can play, then it's your responsibility all the way. And a lot of these kids, we brought kids in that one Mike Tramner, who you all know, I think, is Mike came and he was walk-on, and he ended up playing for us. He ended up being our captain, and he never took a scholarship. His dad, he decided they're going through on their own and give the scholarship to somebody else that deserves it. And, that's the kind of attitude he took. And he was our captain and a walk-on. He never went to the NFL, but what he had between his rib, behind his ribs, it was a pretty good deal.
Well, it helped set a culture and helped win games at Nebraska. And there's been enough draft picks that you guys helped develop and some really great kids that – it's worked out. It's been a great, great collaboration between the coach and the kid that had the ability. Where Nebraska is always going to have the ability to put guys into the league. I was just wondering a little bit about how the perception of it.
You got so many young players. You look at Georgia. How many guys they have drafted? Two,
yeah,
one,
exactly.
And there are schools that I'm going through it right now. In fact, I went through the whole thing, and eventually I'll find out, just out of my own curiosity, of course, who had the most drafted, big deal, but yeah. A lot of them, but as you look at it, you'll see a lot of schools. Now, Minnesota had some good football players on, and I think they had, I don't even know if they had one drafted. Indiana had, I think, maybe two, and Purdue had one. So all of those coaches over there in Indiana, Purdue, they're all new. They all have young players. Nebraska has a lot of young players. I think you're going to find offense and defensive linemen as they go through Nebraska. They're going to start to pop.
Good.
And it's just a matter of, it's a matter of what they want to do. Some kids play football. I want to be an engineer or a doctor. That's the way it goes. We've had guys go in the NFL for a couple of years and come out and go to medical school and are doctors now.
Sure.
And so... everybody's a little different, but you, in order to go to the next level, it's really a lot more work than a lot of people think.
It is. Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us. We love chatting draft with you.
Okay, well, I hope I'm with you.
So do I. We'll see. We'll talk to you next week.
Well,
Coach.
I just think my wife may kill me before this is over.
Take care, Coach. Yell for help.
Talk to you later.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Josh Banderas up next on Hale Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with another Southwest Silverhawk, Husker, and now Denver Bronco. Josh Banderas with us back again on Hail Varsity. Josh, congrats to you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, especially now. Thanks for having me on.
No, I appreciate it. And take me through your weekend. How'd you spend it? How'd you deal with the waiting game?
I spent most of the weekend just hanging out with family and, you know, the girlfriend, trying to get as much time as I can, you know, in hopes that I went somewhere. And you spent all Saturday just watching the draft and hanging out at home, shooting some pool, throwing some darts with the brother. And then, you know, late that Saturday, I got a call from Denver who said kind of, well, welcome aboard. So, I mean, that was an awesome weekend and, you know, kind of fulfill the dream, I guess you could say.
How long, do you remember your age when you wanted to be a pro football player? Do you remember how old you were?
Oh, man, I don't know. Yeah, I was young. Probably about the same time I wanted to be a Husker. I mean, that was just the path that I wanted to take.
Well, you got the opportunity with Denver. And kind of what do you foresee next for you? Give me your schedule. When do you head out there?
I head out on Thursday. Well, I'll have the rookie mini camp this weekend, and you know, I don't know much from that. I just got to go out there and you know, hope I do good enough and put enough on the field that they give me a call back for the next one.
Well, and that's what role do you foresee? What are you going to try and do to make the team?
I just got to do what I've always done. Just go out there and, you know, try and be the hardest worker out there and, you know, really just do something to catch somebody's eye. You know, you can't just be, you know, flying under the radar anymore. You gotta really try and make a name and make somebody notice you to be able to, you know, say that, you know, we want to keep this kid. We want to see what this kid can do.
Well, Josh, you're extremely athletic. You have speed. You've played and started a number of games at Nebraska at linebacker. Is that kind of where you foresee maybe some work, or do you look at special teams for sure? I know you did an interview and an article with Hail Varsity a while back regarding long snapping. Is that something that you think you can use to separate yourself, the long snapping aspect?
Well, you know, and that's kind of – and when I was training down in Florida, I kind of hurt my wrist doing the long snapping, so I don't know how much I'll be able to do that anymore, which was kind of a huge bummer because I was, you know, starting to see that as, you know, an asset and something that I could do in the future. But, I mean, as far as those things go, I mean, that's where that's how I'm going to make the team, is, you know, on those other four teams, just running down there and really not caring about my body in any way, shape, or form, and throwing it into other guys. So that's how I plan on sticking, you know, at least at first.
Josh Banderas with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bando the Mando on Twitter. So we've talked a little bit about Denver and your experience in Nebraska. How can that help you translate to the next level?
Oh, man. Well, anytime you get to play at a level like that, like we play at Nebraska, it's just, you know, it's huge. And throughout this training, I got to meet some guys that are in the NFL. And obviously, I played with Jano, who's arguably one of the best fullbacks in the league. So, you know, just playing with the caliber of guys that are at that next level, and just the things that separate them, or whether it be mental, or obviously some guys are athletically freaky, but just knowing that I've played with guys like this before, this is not a totally new realm as far as on-field, you know, physical size and strength goes.
How much did you lean on some of your defensive coaches, Bray, or even Coach Riley during this process with the opportunity with Denver and beyond?
They were a big help, and just a big help with providing me, you know, kind of some of the things that are going to happen, things that I can look for, and, you know, just nothing was really so much a surprise, I guess you could say, because I had had guys like Coach Bray, who'd been in the NFL, and Coach Riley coached in it, and Coach Bankers coached in it, so I had these guys with experience that I could lean on and ask for advice at any time and about anything. So they were a huge help through this whole thing.
who from a peer standpoint, who have you reached out to? Have you talked to Jano? Have you talked to Compton? Have you talked to any guys that that wore the red that are now at that level?
I got a hold of Trevor Roach and Zaire, obviously, since he's out in Denver. He's a big help. And then Jano, you know, it's just guys that have been there and, done that. I mean, Roach was a walk-on who made the – made the Bengals, who's one of the top defenses in the NFL. So these guys were a big help, and they've done been through the path that I've gone. And I hope if I can get lucky enough to do what at least half of what they did, then I'll be on the right path.
Couple more minutes. Josh Banderas joining us on Hail Varsity Radio, off to Denver. So if memory serves, Josh, you're a big Chiefs guy, right?
Oh yeah.
So have you traded the red, white, and yellow for the blue and orange?
Yeah, I got to. It's gonna be different, man. All my family down in Kansas City, they're gonna catch a little bit for turning.
Well, hey, it makes sense. I want to talk to you about your pops, a really good player at Nebraska, and supported you your entire career since you were young to standing out in high school and doing work at Nebraska. What's it been like for you and him this weekend and through this process leading up to a chance in the NFL? Can you kind of take us a little bit privately into how special it's been?
Well, it's just been fun, man. Because when this all started, just knowing what he's been through, but this whole draft and agents and going somewhere to train, this is all new to him. So it was kind of like, we got to go through it together. Because back when, he was going to the NFL, he just worked out in the spring with the team, and I hope somebody just gave him a call and he went out there. There was nothing extra. I mean, it wasn't this huge, huge, huge business yet. It was just, the next level. But it was really cool being able to go through it and go through it with him and keeping him involved in everything and every call that I got from a team or everything that's going on with my agent and training and everything. So, I mean, it was just awesome that we could kind of share this experience.
What other teams were in pursuit of you? What made you choose Denver over the other options?
Denver, at the end of the day, Jacksonville was interested, and Chicago was interested, but at the end of the day, it didn't, location, it's obviously good in Denver because it's close to home, but that was, a factor that really, really didn't matter. I had to go somewhere that I felt would be my best chance to get somewhere and to stick and gave me the best opportunity to make an NFL team. And it's just all the better that it was Denver, and I know Jano, and I know Zaire, and mm-hmm. Jared Crick is a Husker and a Nebraska kid, so I mean there's a more comfortable feel at Denver than say Jacksonville, where I'm a long ways from home and I don't know anybody. So mm-hmm. They were the team that gave me the best chance to, or I feel gives me the best chance to make the team, and it's just the rest of it is just a cherry on top.
How are you feeling from an injury standpoint? You mentioned the wrist. Did you have a calf injury? Were you able to overcome that with some time? Health-wise, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, I feel better than, or probably just about as good as I did before I hurt it. And they were just unfortunate, but in the end, all I was asking for was an opportunity. I didn't care if I got drafted or if, I was a tryout guy. I just wanted to get a chance to get on the field in front of some eyes. So the injury stunk and there was poor timing, but I made the best of a pretty bad situation.
I wanted to ask you, how have you dealt with, the only word that kind of comes to my mind is pressure, because you're an in-state kid, highly touted recruit, guy who played at Nebraska as a true freshman, guy who started the last 2 years at Nebraska. You know how this state is with their own. They wanted to see you do well. Now you're in the NFL. Is it something that you were able to kind of roll with the punches with? I mean, you haven't made it, but you have the opportunity to make it. Do you feel pretty good in the ability to reflect and the hype versus what you delivered on? Did you ever feel that pressure through your career here?
Oh, I mean, I think there were times, especially when I was younger, that there was a little bit of pressure that I felt. But that, I mean, honestly, a lot of that came from the social media and stuff. And, mm-hmm. When I realized that that's, I mean, maybe like 2% of the population in Nebraska that's trying to speak out for everybody else. And, you know, I just decided to get rid of all of that, and it made my life a whole lot easier, and just made me realize that there's a lot of, you know, good fans and a lot of good support, and that's the majority of, you know, what you want to hear and what's out there. So, I mean, there was pressure early on, but if anything, it helped me to understand more about, you know, the game of football and how it's changing, you know, with more getting people and fans more involved in the social media and all this and that. You know, it's different than it was, but it's definitely, I've definitely learned a lot as I've gone through the college process.
Well, a chance to make it in Denver. Josh Banderas with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Lastly, Josh, do you have a chance to say anything to Nathan Gary? He ended up heading to Philly. You know that guy that you're close with and kind of came in with. What's your reaction to him heading off to the city of brotherly love?
Oh, I was so excited for him, man. He deserves it. And, you know, if it was me, I think he should have gone in the second or third round. But, you know, the kid gets an opportunity to show what he's got on the biggest stage in the world. And, you know, I'm excited to talk to him. I wish him nothing but good luck. And I said it's time to go get after it. And hopefully we end up playing each other in some time in our career.
That'd be a lot of fun. Lastly, about 30 seconds, Josh. What did you think of the spring showing by Nebraska offense and defense?
Very impressed. I mean, obviously the defense didn't show, you know, too much of that new defense because, you know, for obvious reasons. But I was very happy, you know, very, very happy with the play of the, you know, the younger linebackers. And these guys are growing up and going to be great football players. And then offense, I think everybody in the state was, you know, more than happy with offense and how the quarterbacks perform. So I don't really have any worries about the team. It'll be nice since I'm, you know, only about 7-8 hours away that I can maybe come back and see a couple games.
Well, Josh, best of luck, man. We'll catch up again, and thanks for a few minutes.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Josh Banderas. I've watched him for 100 years, it seems like. High school and then to college and now off to the NFL. Best of luck to Josh Banderas with Denver. Sauter Heyman, see your friends at Sauter Heyman, the exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds, Rick and the gang. Pure Grown Diamonds are lab grown and they are 10 to 40% less than earth mine diamonds. Log on today with SauterHeyman.com.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Busy second hour. Big thanks to Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, Josh Banderas, Denver Bronco, Alonzo Moore, Kansas City Chief, is down in Dallas right now, so he will join us tomorrow. We welcome in owner, publisher, CEO of Hail Varsity, Mr. Aaron Babcock with us. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right. You're doing awesome. Hail Varsity is doing great. Got some news to share, don't you?
Yeah. You know, we've had a busy first quarter as we continue to look for ways to make Hail Varsity better. And today we announced that we have teamed up with Herdat. A lot of people know that name as the company that former Huskers Blake Lawrence and Adi Kanalik started about 6 years ago. And they've made an official investment and strategic partnership with Hail Varsity to team up. So really kind of what that means in the end is Hail Varsity is going to have a bigger team to produce even more great content, especially as it pertains to our website and our social media channels.
Aaron Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Aaron, the age of digital use and interaction is alive and well, obviously, and continues to grow. And a thought or two from you on how awesome Herdat has been and will continue to be with that, and then just the projection with, I mean, the Nebraska fan base and what Hail Varsity's already provided.
Yeah, you know, I think from day one, you know, Hail Varsity wanted to be a multimedia company that reached Husker fans regardless of how they consumed you know, or how they followed the Huskers. So obviously we've got the magazine and we've got a very passionate group of subscribers and readers for that. We've got our radio show, which can be heard across the entire state, and you know, we've got people all over the country that listen to it online. Our website audience just continues to grow. I think traffic, last I looked, was up about 50%, you know, over last year. And so, you know, we really try to continue to innovate and figure out, you know, what's the best way to, you know, to reach out to Husker fans. We've got a team that's passionate about putting out great content. The Herd At team, the areas that they excel is really amplifying that message and making sure that that our message is being seen by as many people as possible. They've got a great voice when it comes to social media, and so that's going to just really take all the things that we're doing and really, I think, just really broadcast that to a much larger audience. And then as we look forward, as we get into video and other different opportunities to distribute information, we're going to be right there at the forefront, hopefully leading the way for Husker fans.
Aaron Babcock, KLVarsity.com magazine. And, of course, the news today. Can log on HaleVarsity.com and also see it on different social media platforms, either Facebook or Twitter. Herd At and Hale Varsity announcing the investment in a strategic partnership. And Aaron, just a thought or two before we say goodbye here about the folks that are, you know, leading Herd At and the relationship and the comfort there, because you gotta be comfortable with folks you're partnering with, and it sounds like that can't be more true.
Yeah, you know, if you go back to the early days when Blake and Adi were starting the company and when they were still owners, we were one of their first clients, you know, early on and had a chance to watch this business grow. We've stayed closely involved with Herd At ever since, and I've known you know, a number of the people over there. Just a very talented team, you know, whether it's, you know, Chris Gorman or Krista Vogel, just people that are top-notch in the industry and really excited about, you know, how they're going to make us better. So just all-around great people and excited about all the great things we can do together.
Well, Aaron, thanks for giving us a few minutes to tell all the Husker fans about what's next for Hale Varsity in the partnering up with Herd At. You can log on HaleVarsity.com, see the press release, and good day today for Nebraska fans. Aaron, thanks for giving us a few minutes, bud. Appreciate it, and congrats, man.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care. Aaron Babcock with us on Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. So that is a bit of news for Hale Varsity and Herd At. I'm excited to be where we're at, and that's awesome. That is flat-out awesome.
I heard that.
Yeah, thank you, TJ Henning. Have you been deciding what Skinnerd samples to play later?
So I forgot Freebird was like a 9-minute song. And we got a call from Jay earlier who said, if you ever seen the movie The Kingsman, he recommends watching that scene where they play Freebird in a I would say violent scene, but he said it's epic and you need to check it out. So I plan to do that.
Okay. But any other song titles ring a bell for you?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Right.
That one for sure. But yeah, no, not Gimme Three Steps or That Smell.
Three Steps is...
Or the Ballad
See,
of Curtis Lee Lowey.
Hold on. When you put Gimme Three Steps and That Smell together, you can't do that.
Okay.
You gotta space them.
All right.
Sends the wrong message. Okay? Sends the wrong... message. Three
you got
steps,
that right. That's a song by them.
Three Steps is a good song. It's a great storytelling song and has one of the best names in it. A girl named Linda Lou. How many Linda Lou's do you know?
None.
Only in the South. She may be your cousin. You're praying she's not your sister. So check out some Skinnerd on YouTube tonight.
Yeah, I'll try. Don't know if that'll happen.
What else you got going tonight?
Oh, NBA playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
That's what's up. Maybe a little workout too. Try to get that in.
The workout's a good call. But.
Yeah, don't ask me no questions. All I can do is write about it.
That's the best. You know what that song's about? Guy coming home from the bar, his girlfriend or wife going, "Where the heck have you been?" And his response, and I'm not kidding you, don't ask me no questions. I won't tell you no lies.
there
who
you go.
Been with? Who you going out with?
Okay,
it's logic. Where you been? You don't want to know. Moving on. Mm. So there you have that. Weather should be better this week, which means you can get a tee time scheduled.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself with your friends at Wilderness Ridge. Wilderness Ridge Golf. It is May. It is golf season. It is time for you to log on wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Find out about Wilderness's membership benefits, also the membership pricing, and great teachers out at Wilderness Ridge. Director of Golf, Chris Thompson, PGA, and Director of Instruction, Mike Shuhart, Shuey. He'll be in this Wednesday. At least I hope he's in this Wednesday. I plan on it. But time for you this weekend, go check out Wilderness Ridge when it's nice and dry and gorgeous, maybe for a little Sunday brunch or a cocktail on the deck as temperatures return. But in any rate, find out more, get a tee time, and do yourself the favor you deserve. Think about catching up with Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com. We'll say goodbye to a Monday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. I think I'm reading this right. Leonard Skinner is at the Nebraska State Fair September 1st. The surviving members. It's a vastly different band now. Maybe that was last year. I don't know. I haven't been to the fair in 500 years.
Neither have I.
Forgive me. So, long and short of it is, there's people out here to support you, DJ. Uncle Andy offering up his Skinner greatest hits. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you're not into it.
It's not my favorite genre of music. Classic? I love classic rock and, like, movies. Like, that, like, when they can pair it up great with the scene, oh, nothing better. But what, just, like, straight listening
well,
to it, I'm not sure
what
it's my
scenes,
thing.
What scenes are paired up with classic rock music? Usually it's like a car chase or there's some sort of drug use going on.
Yeah, but just something great, you know? Some movie you fall in love with. Like, I was thinking of one, but that wasn't a classic rock song, so I'm not going to mention it.
What?
Remember the Titans, but Ain't No Mountain High. That's not a classic rock
song. No, that is an R&B
song.
But
I love that song.
You love that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
that song.
But they had... They had classic rock and Remember the Titans.
Yeah, they did.
The Long Cool Woman in the Black Dress. It's the Hollies.
Hmm. Yep, no idea.
Some of us like started in radio and classic rock, so...
Yeah, see.
We know
you could
it.
Just blow away.
But you could say, all right, Schmidt, I'm going to teach you about 50 Cent.
Yeah.
I know some.
Yeah, you know some 50.
I know some, but...
Yeah.
Like the new wave of rap... That only TJ Henning knows.
Yeah, some of that's pretty bad, but...
It's okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is you have support out here.
I do.
If you want to indulge in Leonard Skinner.
I do.
So this is a true story, and Garth is... Garth might be mid-30s now, but once in a while when I'd bump into Garth, he'd be wearing like a Beatles t-shirt, and he'll text me out of the blue. This is probably before Garth hit his... It might have been late 20s.
Okay.
Garth texts me and he's like, dude, the Beatles are awesome. I'm like, well, yeah. It's like, no, but I'd never listened to them before, but now I can't stop.
Hmm.
So as you get older, maybe you discover.
Yeah, maybe your tastes change a little bit.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And Skinner's just, listen, man, it's really the best way to do Skinner is if you're rolling with some buddies on a road trip, or you're relaxing. Yeah, beer in hand or juice box in hand, and you're just chilling. You're at the pool, maybe you're at the beach, got your earbuds in,
maybe on a boat.
On a boat for sure. But that's the way it's just good time music. And I'm not here to join or start the fan club. You'd get a kick out of it.
All right.
We didn't have time to ask McBride about it because I'm sure he likes some Skinner.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like Simple Man and Sweet Home Alabama.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And those are probably two of the most popular, but there's some really other good music. There's my crusade. TJ Henning will be wearing a Skinner t-shirt by Friday.
Don't hold your breath.
Find us tomorrow at 4. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Thanks to Josh Banderas. Thanks to Brandon Riley. Thanks to Jay Moore. Thanks to Charlie McBride and Aaron Babcock. Tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Bye.